In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Name, title, Good Samaritan. It's in our common currency and language to talk about a good deed done. You might not even know anything about Jesus Christ, but you can say, you know, be a good Samaritan. And it would seem to suggest, somebody who's charitable, somebody who does good deeds. We name hospital systems after it. We need healthcare services after it. And that's a very common thing. But we shouldn't really let the cliche of a good Samaritan define this gospel story for us, right? Because it's not just on the horizontal, being good, a good neighbor to one and all. Because really the consistent witness of the early church considered that the good Samaritan is no other than Jesus himself. He's not necessarily talking there to shame the lawyer, but he's trying to reveal a little bit about his identity. He wants to tell us a secret about himself. And in order to do that, he needs to paint a picture, a large picture, with bright colors like these. And he does it with these words. What is Jesus but a stranger? He's not from this world, like a Samaritan. He's not from the Jewish community. He's an outsider looking in. Actually, Samaritans were looked rather askance at. They were marginalized people. Jews weren't supposed to mingle with them lest they be unclean. Last person on earth to be able to do it, right? That's who Jesus is. He's an outsider coming into our world. Second, it's not a random act of kindness. It's a very deliberate act of kindness. What are the odds that a Samaritan is going to come by and have everything? Bandages, wine, oil, a couple coins to pay the innkeeper. It's very deliberate. It's providential even, fortuitous, that he would have everything. Just like the Lord, who has everything we need for our good and knows how to bind up our wounds. This beautiful story in western Pennsylvania, there's this newly married couple, and they're real good looking, and they were on a nice country Sunday drive, and they get in a terrible car accident and really mess them up badly. And the woman, whose whole face was bandaged up because she took the business end of the windshield. And she was there in the hospital for several months. And when they finally removed the bandages, one by one, one by one, one by one, with the joyful anticipation of the husband, they find out that the way her face was reconstructed, she had slack jaw, so her mouth hung down like that. This husband, without skipping a beat, he says, "Don't worry, honey, I know it'll fix this." And he gave her a big open mouth kiss. One that could fit that slack jaw, open mouth disfigurement. That's how the Lord loves us. He knows exactly the way and exactly the things that we need to heal our woundedness and our infirmities. Much like the Samaritan. And third, the Good Samaritan is there and doesn't consider it a waste to give away everything that he has. Certainly, these things could be better used in other instances. Maybe in other more charitable things, like the way Judas looks askance at the alabaster jar. He tries to play it off like, "Don't worry, you know, we could give 30 cents. We can give that alabaster jar and we can sell it and give it all to the poor." Pawns it off that, you know. He certainly knows the price, Judas does, but he doesn't know the value. This Lord who we have in Jesus, this Good Samaritan, knows the value of everything that he gives to us. And he pours it out in an unbridled way. Right? In a similar way, we celebrated the Feast of St. Michael this week, St. Michael the Archangel, and I was really struck by his saint life and how we know St. Michael. If you know anything about him, you know, you hear this sort of comic book retelling of the story that St. Michael fought the battle with Satan, Lucifer, when he fell, right? And there's this great war between the angels. But you know what his saint's life says? That when Lucifer fell out of his pride and took a portion of the angels with him, You know what he did? You know what his weapon was? Let us stand aright, let us stand in awe, let us be attentive. And he led all of the angels in the thrice holy hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. His greatest weapon was not that sword, was not that shield, was not that spear, but the complete, unadulterated praise of God. Because you know what the biggest difference between an angel and a human is? Two things, time and space. Time, they exist out of time, right? We have to make a choice for Christ over the duration of a time for our whole life. The angels do it in a second, right? They make that choice for Christ. Lucifer's no to God and yes to himself and his pride happen in a second, flash. They're outside of time. But they're also outside of space, which means if you put an angel like a cadaver on a chopping block table, you can't cut them into pieces. They're totally unified. We're not, because we exist in space. We got arms, we got fingers, head, shoulders, knees and toes. And we have a divided mind. We have a divided heart into an innumerable amount of pieces, affections, attractions, fears. And so very often, we can get a piece of ourselves to the Lord. We can give him the nice, shiny part of ourselves to the Lord. But that's not what the deacon, that's not what St. Michael, that's not what the Good Samaritan, that's not what Jesus calls us to. When we sing, after the deacon says, let us stand aright, let us stand in awe, let us be attentive to offer the holy anaphora, priest, what does the priest then say before we enter into the heart of the Eucharistic mystery? Let us lift up our hearts to the Lord. At the most intimate moment of this service, when the Lord wants to pour out on the wound of our humanity, his body and his blood, just like he did to the Good Samaritan, he asks us to have a heart-to-heart with him. In order to have a heart-to-heart, we need to give him everything. We need to give him our secrets. We need to give him our sorrows. We need to give him our joys. We need to be afraid, not afraid to give it to us, even if it's broken. Because you know what? As Psalm 50 tells us, a humbled gift to God is a broken heart. To give that broken heart is a good thing because it'll allow him to rebuild it from the inside out. And what a proud thing that could be. So to be a good Samaritan, to learn how to be a good Samaritan, is not a vague expression of a random act of kindness. It requires being near to the neighbor who is the Lord, the good neighbor. It requires modeling that love poured out, unbridled, not a part of it. When you're baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ from your head to your toes. Everything that you are is like all of those elements that are in the Good Samaritan's pocket. Because it's meant to be a gift to another person. It's meant to be a gift to this church. It's meant to be a gift to all of humanity. Everything. And it's worth giving everything for. So that when the deacon leads us in the angelic praise, let us stand aright, let us stand in awe, let us be attentive. Our whole being, all of our gifts, all of those assets that we mapped, all of those manifest and hidden benefits bestowed upon us, all of the gifts that we know and that we do not know are given back to him and instrumentalized for his glory. At the end of the book of the Psalms, Psalm 150 that we sing every day at Matins, we sing, praise him with clashing of cymbals. Praise him with lyre and harp. Let everything that lives and that breathes give praise in the Lord. That's how the book of the Psalms ends. He clears out the orchestra pit and every instrument. You start banging on the chairs to make noise to the Lord. If we withhold any part of that for reasons of pride, for reasons of fear, for reasons of passive aggression, we can't boast in anything but the cross of Christ. We haven't yet been crucified to the world, as Paul tells us, because we want it, I don't know, for ourselves, for our peace of mind, for our security. And yet, the Lord is calling us to be a good neighbor like he is a good neighbor, to be a good Samaritan like he's a good Samaritan. And ultimately, that will be the only thing that will satisfy you. The only thing you're going to get satisfaction in this world is not what you hold on to, but what you give away, so that he could give it back brand new, like Isaac, when the Lord leads him up to the mountain and says, kill your only son. He's not trying to get the blood of Isaac. We don't have a bloodthirsty, angry God. But what he's trying to say, be willing to give up everything so that I can give it back to you brand new. Renewed. Don't hold on to it. You know? Because the only one you're going to hurt is yourself if you hold on to your gifts. Because they're just going to disintegrate in your hand. And you'll be even worse off than what you left. So let's be a good Samaritan. Let's recognize what it means to be a good neighbor. Means to first have that heart-to-heart with the Lord that the deacon will invite us to, with that attentive wholesomeness. Let's lift up all of that brokenness so he could renew it, a contrite spirit in us. And a broken, contrite heart, he will not spurn. Those are the things that he likes best, because he can refashion it. He can reuse it. He can take it out of his pocket and make use of it for somebody else in your life, in the Lord's providence for his good. Let's not hold on to what we think is the most precious things for us. Let's give it away. Because really, when you die, the only thing you're going to get in heaven is what you give away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.